Bean got his summons during lunch. He reported at once to Dymack's quarters. He found his teacher sitting at his desk, reading something. The light was set so that Bean couldn't read it through the dazzle. "Have a seat," said Dymack. Bean jumped up and sat on Dymack's bed, his legs dangling. "Let me read you something," said Dymack. "There are no fortifications, no magazines, no strong points. In the enemy's solar system, there can be no living off the land, since access to habitable planets will be possible only after complete victory. Supply lines are not a problem, since there are none to protect, but the cost of that is that all supplies and ordnance must be carried with the invading fleet. In effect, all interstellar invasion fleets are suicide attacks, because time dilation means that even if a fleet returns intact, almost no one they knew will still be alive. They can never return, and so must be sure that their force is sufficient to be decisive and therefore is worth the sacrifice. Mixed-sex forces allow the possibility of the army becoming a permanent colony and/or occupying force on the captured enemy planet." Bean listened complacently. He had left it in his desk for them to find it, and they had done so. "You wrote this, Bean, but you never submitted it to anybody. There was never an assignment that it fit. You don't seem surprised that we found it. I assume that you routinely scan our desks, just as you routinely scan ours." Bean felt his stomach twist with fear. They knew. "Cute, naming your false login graph with a carrot in front of it." Bean said nothing. "You've been scanning all the other students' records. Why?"
"I wanted to know them. I've only made friends with a few."
"Close friends with none."
"I'm little and I'm smarter than they are. Nobody's standing in line."
"So you use their records to tell you more about them. Why do you feel the need to understand them?"
"Someday I'll be in command of one of these armies."
"Plenty of time to get to know your soldiers then."
"No, sir," said Bean. "No time at all."
"Why do you say that?"
"Because of the way I've been promoted. And Wigan. We're the two best students in this school and we're being raced through. I'm not going to have much time when I get an army."
"Bean, be realistic. It's going to be a long time before anybody's going to be willing to follow you into battle." Bean said nothing. He knew that this was false, even if Dymack didn't. "Let's see just how good your analysis is. Let me give you an assignment."
"For which class?"
"No class, Bean. I want you to create a hypothetical army. Working only with launchies, construct an entire roster, the full complement of 41 soldiers."
"No veterans?"
Bean meant the question neutrally, just checking to make sure he understood the rules. But Dymack seemed to take it as criticism of the unfairness of it. "No, tell you what. You can include veterans who were posted for transfer at their commander's request. That'll give you some experienced ones."
"The ones the commander couldn't work with."
"Some really were losers, but some were the opposite."
"Fine," said Bean.
"How long do you think it will take you?"
Bean already had a dozen picked out.
"I can tell the list to you right now." "I want you to think about it seriously."
"I already have.
But you need to answer a couple of questions first. You said 41 soldiers, but that would include the commander."
"All right.
40, and leave the commander blank."
"I have another question.
Am I to command the army?"
"You can write it up that way if you want."
But Dymack's very unconcerned told Bean that the army was not for him.
"This army's for Wigan, isn't it?"
Dymack glowered. "It's hypothetical."
"Definitely Wigan," said Bean.
"You can't boot somebody else out of command to make room for him, so you're giving Wigan a whole new army."
"I bet it's Dragon."
Dymack looked stricken, though he tried to cover it.
"Don't worry," said Bean. I'll give him the best army you can form, following those rules.
I said this was hypothetical.
You think I wouldn't figure it out when I found myself in Wigan's army and everybody else in it was also on my roster?
Nobody's said we're actually going to follow your roster.
You will. Because I'll be right and you'll know it, said Bean. And I can promise you, it'll be a hell of an army. With Wigan to train us, we'll kick ass.
Just do the hypothetical assignment and talk to no one about it. Ever.
That was dismissal, but Bean didn't want to be dismissed yet. They came to him. They were having him do their work. He wanted to have his say while they were still listening. The reason this army can be so good is that your system's been promoting a lot of the wrong kids. About half the best kids in this school are launchies or on the transfer lists, because they're the ones who haven't already been beaten into submission by the kiss-ass idiots you put in command of armies or toons. These misfits and little kids are the ones who can win. Wigan will figure that out. He'll know how to use us.
Bean, you're not as smart about everything as you think you are.
Yes, I am, sir, said Bean, or you wouldn't have given this assignment to me. May I be dismissed? Or do you want me to tell you the roster now?
Dismissed, said Dymac.
I probably shouldn't have provoked him, thought Bean. Now it's possible that he'll fiddle with my roster just to prove he can. But that's not the kind of man he is. If I'm not right about that, then I'm not right about anybody else either. Besides, it felt good to speak the truth to someone in power.